Now, believe it or not, this is the next to the last sermon in our study of the Gospel of Luke. How long have we been studying the Gospel of Luke? I don't know. What's that? We have done 23 chapters and we're finishing up the 24th one. You're right. Okay? This week and next week, and then we are done with our study of Luke. Now, for your information, the next book that we are going to tackle in our Working Through the Bible sermon series is the Old Testament book of Numbers. That's correct. Numbers. So, this week, feel free to read ahead. God will bless you if you do. But today, the Holy Spirit has put before us one of what I think is among the most remarkable stories in the Bible. Now, briefly, here is the setting of the story. It happened on Resurrection Day. So it is the same day when the women went to the tomb early in the morning and discovered it empty. It's that very day. Two people. Now, I have to stop and tell you that I always thought they were two men, or maybe three, depending upon, because you always see the picture on the road to Emmaus. You ever seen the great picture? And it always has two men in it. However, some of the scholars say that Cleopas, who was identified as one of the persons in this book, is actually Clopas in the book of John, and that the person who was with him was most likely his wife. How do they know? I don't know, but they say so. So two people, we'll say this morning for the sake of discussion, two people who knew Jesus, who were among his inner circle of disciples, who had actually been present when the women reported the news of the resurrection, who knew that the disciples had gone to the tomb and found it empty, who believed that Jesus was a great prophet, and who had hoped that he was Israel's Messiah, were going home to Emmaus. They did not believe the report of the women. They found the report of the apostles to be incomplete. Their minds were still caught up in the evil progression of darkness that had covered the earth when Jesus Christ died. They were, in fact, going home without hope. And as they walked on that road, Jesus joined them. But their minds were so clouded in darkness. They were so wrapped up in the hopelessness of their life that they could not see. They did not know it was He. It was the hour of their visitation. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead, was right there with them in their midst. They had been with Him. They loved Him. But the darkness and the hopelessness so enshrouded their minds that they could not see that it was He. Now I ask you, is that not utterly and completely remarkable? Do you see what darkness and hopelessness can do? Even the closest followers of Jesus were so caught up in the reign of darkness that they could not see. Jesus Himself was there with them, walking beside them, talking to them. But they did not know it was He. And you know what? The same thing can happen to you today. When you get caught up in the darkness of the age in which we live, Jesus may be right beside you, but the darkness in your soul will keep you from seeing him and knowing that he is there. The same thing that happened to those people on the road to Emmaus can happen to any one of us today when our minds are fogged in by darkness and hopelessness. So Jesus showed them all that the scripture said about him. He opened the word of God to their darkened minds. Now, there's just a couple things I want to say about that. This is the second time on the day of resurrection, on the same day that Jesus opened the words from the scripture when they are revealed. The first time was in Luke chapter 24, verses 6 to 8. Now, folks, I told you last week, I'm going to tell it to you again. This is the source of truth. We sang it in the songs. This is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. When the darkness encroaches and the hopelessness of the age invades our souls, this is our source of strength. But oh, how slow we are to learn its words and to cling to it for guidance. More often, rather than follow the book, we give in to our emotions and we follow the way of the world. All too frequently, we forget the book and we let the darkness rule. Now, it may be that you don't know what the Old Testament has to say about Jesus Christ. You may not know. So let me just read to you one passage from the Old Testament that clearly talks about Jesus. I hear people say all the time, we don't need to spend any time in the Old Testament, Pastor. It has nothing to do with us. We're New Testament people. Well, you know what? The Old Testament and New Testament are in complete agreement. There's no difference between them, no divergence. They are the same. So let me read you this passage. It's Isaiah chapter 53. Listen to what the Old Testament has to say about Jesus. It says, "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Now, I just want you to know, those women that came back from the tomb, they were ready to quote that verse to those stupid disciples. Nobody would listen to them. Nobody would receive the word of God that they had to say. Who has received our message? He, Jesus, grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. For we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? His descendants are the Christians who have followed the word throughout all time. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. The Old Testament tells us about Jesus. It speaks out of about our risen King. So on that day, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus our Lord opened to them the word of God concerning himself. You ready for this? You listen to me now, because I'm going to let go. The weakness of the church in this postmodern generation is that we do not know. And we do not obey the holy word of Almighty God. It is how the rule of darkness grows in this present age all around us. In thoughts and in actions, we who are the people of God have abandoned the word of God. The way we treat each other as Christians is not governed by the word of God. It's a simple little thing. But you know what? I have been your pastor now for 33 years. I'm the same guy I was when I came here. I stand in exactly the same place on the word of God. So when you start thinking I'm out to get your butt because I'm warning you about something in your life, you need to think again. It's darkness ruling in your heart, and you need to say to Satan, get behind me now. Because Christians don't treat each other with contempt. The word of God says we can't. You ready for the next one? Abortion is wrong. Despite what our culture may say. And any politician who stands up and tells you that he is for abortion is unworthy of your vote. I don't care what color his hair or his skin may be. It is in opposition to the word of Almighty God. You ready now? Marriage is between a man and a woman. Amen. The Bible says so. And a judge may declare it to be otherwise, and the mayor of Philadelphia may have done 18 gay marriages yesterday, but it is wrong, and it is time for the people of God to stand on the word and say so. You ready? I'm going to go now. the way you get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. You cannot get there through Buddha or Mohammed or Aunt Mabel. Jesus Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Him. When they tell you that there are lots of ways to heaven, they are lying. One more. God made the heaven and the earth and all that fills them. We are not the result of a cosmic accident. It didn't happen that way. God made us. To deny these things is to put a bush over the light and to willingly grope around in the darkness. And that's where those people to whom Jesus spoke on the road to Emmaus were that day. Even though they knew the Son of God and loved Him with all their heart, they groped on in darkness, for they did not know the Word of God. And the same thing is happening today. But on that day, even after Jesus opened the Word to them, they still did not see. You know, it breaks my heart. Because it is possible to stand before a people year after year, week after week, day after day, and tell them the Word of God. And all of a sudden to discover that darkness has moved in on their mind so strongly that they still cannot see. On that day when those people reached their destination, it was getting dark around them physically. The sun was beginning to set. Don't miss the importance of that little technical detail. The whole world around them was getting dark. As they turned into the gate where they were going, Jesus seemed to be going on further, the scripture says. Now catch this, remember this, please. Jesus is a gentleman. He will not push. He will tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit working with Him will open the Word of God to you. But if you still want to cling to darkness and hopelessness, if you continue to refuse to believe, Jesus will wait. In the back corner over there is a picture, famous picture, of Jesus knocking at the door of a human heart. He's standing there knocking because He wants to come in. But if you go back and look at the picture, you will discover that there is no latch on the outside of the door. He can't open it and come in from the outside. You have to reach over and turn the knob and open the door to let Him in. Oh, He'll stand out there knocking, His big heart breaking with grief. But if you want the darkness and the hopelessness of the age, if you want to live life without Him, He will respect your choice reluctantly. He will wait. Today, Jesus waits on you. But that day, those people begged Him to come in and stay with them through the darkness of the night. You see it, right? They didn't quite get it. They weren't like fully attuned. Their understanding was still incomplete. But they asked Jesus to come in. And guess what? He did come in. And he stayed with them. He is, after all, Emmanuel, God with us. And when they were eating dinner, he reached over and he took the loaf of bread on the table. He thanked God for it. And he broke it. And he passed it to him, saying, "Eat this." And oh my, praise God. In that moment, the darkness fled. It's why he tells us not to give up on each other. It's why he tells us that we need to be together with our brothers and sisters every Sunday. It's why he tells us to eat the bread and to drink the cup as often as we will do it. For in the coming together of his body, the church, in the relentless repeating of the ancient rituals, in the sharing of the word, the darkness of the age is driven back and light floods our hopeless worlds. So folks, here it is. Right now, Jesus is waiting for you to turn the latch and invite him in. And if you do, he will come. And when he fills your heart, do not ever forsake the assembling of the people, for it is here that darkness is driven.